Please stand if you are able for the to honor the reading of the gospel. The reading is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It tells the story of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We have spent the last few weeks looking at ways that we can have an attitude of gratitude. And some of the reasons we can choose to have that attitude of gratitude are a bit counterintuitive. We have talked about how we can be grateful for our ability to change, grateful for uncomfortable truth, grateful for God's promises, even the ones that haven't been fulfilled yet. But the core idea has been that we can choose to have an attitude of gratitude, even in difficult or uncomfortable circumstances. Today, we are looking at how we can be grateful even for the unexpected. Now, when Jesus was born, even though there were prophecies that stretched back hundreds of years, he was unexpected. I mean, yeah, the Savior was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Everyone knew that. But he was supposed to be born to royalty and power, not some anonymous poor family who really lived in that podunk middle-of-nowhere village called Nazareth. That was unexpected. Everyone expected angels and portents to announce the birth of the Messiah, but those angels were supposed to announce the news to the rulers, to the priests, to the prophets, not to some anonymous shepherds in a field. That was unexpected. Have you ever seen any of the Avengers movies? They are filled with these like burly, supercharged, super strong, super fast superheroes. Now there is one who is not super strong and doesn't have those superpowers. That's Iron Man, who is super smart and super rich and builds robot suits that give him superpowers. So he makes up for it in other ways. Or maybe you've seen The Incredibles 2 recently. We just showed that at our free movie night in November. Mr. Incredible is super strong. Dash, is super fast. Violet has a super energy shield and the super ability to become invisible. Elastigirl is super stretchy, like Gumby on steroids. Now, sometimes we do need to be rescued. And that's when you call in the super strong, super fast, supercharged superheroes to save the day. If you need a savior, dial up Captain America. He can run a mile in a minute, can punch through a brick wall, and has a shield that cannot be broken. That's the kind of warrior that people expected for the Messiah. Or, how about a baby in a manger? And this baby can't even claim super rich status like Iron Man, just a baby. Is that who you want on your speed dial for your savior? A baby whose parents have to bum a spot in a stable because they can't find and can't afford anything better. Does that sound like a good bet? Is that play going to win your fantasy football league? That's unexpected. Think back on this year. What has happened over the last 12 months in your life? What has happened in your work? What has happened in your family? What has happened with your friends? What has happened internally in your heart or your mind or your soul? What has happened with health? Think back on this year. How much of it was expected? How much did this year go according to plan? There's a common Christian joke that we plan and God laughs. Maybe you've had some unexpectedly bad things happen this year. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've had a falling out with someone. Maybe you've had a big project fail. Or maybe you've dropped the ball on something. Maybe your life seems darker today than it did way back on January 1st. The unexpected happens. And sometimes it is unexpectedly bad. Now, literally, as I hit the period on that sentence this past week, I was in a restaurant, and that's when all the lights went out in the restaurant. Right as I wrote that unexpectedly bad sentence, and all of the restaurant workers who were there with the grease, you know, give this shriek of fear as all the lights went out. But you know what happened? The lights came back on. Now they went off again, but hey. In our first reading today, the prophet Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined." And so if this year has been unexpectedly bad, if you have been walking in darkness, that does not mean that God has abandoned you. Isaiah says, in fact, that's actually when God is watching closely. And you don't have to be someone important for God to be near you in the midst of darkness. On Christmas, the angels did not come to Emperor Augustus. The angels did not come to Governor Quirinius. The angels did not come to Herod the king. The angels did not even come to Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. The angel didn't come to the mayor of Bethlehem. No. The angels came to some anonymous shepherds. Shepherds who weren't famous. Shepherds who weren't important. In fact, shepherds were looked down upon by others. They were seen kind of like vagrants. They worked in darkness. They were treated with darkness by their society. And to them, a light shined. If you have been experiencing darkness this year, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. You are not beneath notice. You are not abandoned. God is watching, and indeed, God is nearby. God is with you. That is the Christmas message, that God is with us in Jesus. But if you've been walking in darkness, you don't need to just know that God is with us. You need to know God in Jesus is with you. That was this year. What about next year? Part of the Christmas message is that God is with us in the darkness, but the other half of the Christmas message is that God is shining a light into that darkness. If a Savior comes to save, things might be different, right? And so if Jesus is with us in the unexpectedly bad, Jesus also brings us hope for the unexpectedly good. Now, for this story to make sense, you first have to keep in mind that I am a super geek. I am equally geeky if we are talking Star Wars or Star Trek. I, sure, took Spanish in high school, but I simultaneously taught myself two other languages, Russian, somewhat useful, and Klingon. Yes, Klingon, the fake language from Star Trek. I had the Klingon English Dictionary, and I didn't hide this from my friends. I wielded it proudly. Are you tracking with me? Super geek. So now, I can tell you the story. My son, I have a 3-year-old son, his name is Caleb, and he is a talker, and he is very curious. One day, we were at Target. He was just making up sounds, and one of the sounds he made was kapla. And I was very, very excited. Over the moon excited. I was dying of laughter because kapla is the most famous Klingon word. Most famous is a relative term, I will grant you that. But he saw me laughing, and he didn't know why, but you know, he started saying kapla, kapla, over and over again. I eventually taught him that there are different languages that people speak, and kapla means success in Klingon. Now, I've just like quadrupled the number of people who know a Klingon word in the entire world, but I warned him, not many people know kapla, but if you see him, if you tell him kapla, he will be very happy. Now, whenever I put him to bed, he begs me to learn another Klingon word. His new favorite is forshak, which is what you say when something smells bad. Boy humor still exists in Klingon. Now, this whole thing was unexpected, of course, but that's not my point. It's fun for me as a super geek dad. I mean, this is apex geekdom, right? And yes, would it be more useful if I taught him Spanish? Yeah, for sure. Even Russian would be better. But something interesting happened a few weeks ago. Just about 2 weeks ago, we were at this father-child event at his preschool, and we were building gingerbread houses, and the family across from us were from a different country. They were speaking a different language. And I didn't have to tell him that. He knew, because of his Klingon experiment, that there's such thing as different languages, and he's this outgoing guy. He wants to connect with other people, and knowing that they're speaking a different language, he waves at them and shouts, kapla! I didn't even bother trying to explain it to them. I was laughing too hard anyway. But what's my point? My point is that my 3-year-old has learned on his own that there are different languages. He thinks these languages are fun because he stumbled onto a random Klingon word and his super geek dad just had to double down on that. That is unexpected. I cannot have planned for that. I guarantee you my wife did not plan to ever know Klingon. And what if I had, like, back on January 1st, my New Year's resolution is to teach my 3-year-old Spanish. Do you think he would enjoy that process? Probably not. But because he discovered it unexpectedly on his own, he has learned about foreign languages and wants to know more. It is far better than I could have possibly planned. And so what unexpected good might be possible for you next year? Jesus is with us in the unexpectedly bad, but Jesus also brings us hope for that unexpected good as well. If we, walking in darkness, have seen a great light, that means we don't have to be in darkness anymore. Things can be different. And so, is there any darkness in your life that could unexpectedly change for the better next year? If your relationships are in darkness right now, there is hope for light next year. If your mind or emotions or your soul are in darkness, there is hope for light next year. If health is in darkness right now, there is hope for light next year. I don't know what that light looks like. Jesus tends to be rather unexpected. It might not look the way you want it to be. It might not be on your wish list from Santa. It might be unexpected, but it might be better. Sisters and brothers, the first half of the Christmas message is that God is always with us in Jesus. And the second half of the Christmas message is that there is always hope because of Jesus. It's probably not going to look like Captain America leaping out to save the day, but there is always hope. There is always hope. There is always hope. And if that hope turns out to be unexpectedly good, don't forget to shout kapla for success. My 3-year-old will be mighty proud of you. Merry Christmas.